verses 1 through 17 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us in this place. Thank you that your presence is here. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Change our lives so we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I think we'll be extremely practical. It'll be easy to follow. And the thing about this sermon is there's no doubt in my mind every one of us need it. It won't matter if you've been saved one day or 100 days, 1,000 days, or 10,000 days. You will need this sermon. To be very honest, before I started my vacation season, I had about 10 or 12 sermons already. And the whole intent was that I would not be preparing sermons during the vacation time. I pulled all those sermons out, and I was looking through them, and I just could not get peace with any of them. I pulled out a napkin this afternoon that I had doodled on weeks ago, and I prepared this sermon for this evening because I just knew it would be what the Lord would have us to learn. It's not going to be bombastic. It's not going to be dynamic. You're not going to be amazed with it. But I think, if you'll hear me out, you'll be helped. That is my ultimate goal. I'm going to preach to you tonight just a simple little truth that I call how I deal with my own failures. How I deal with my own failures. I would like to mention something, if I could, real quickly. David, a great man from the Old Testament, Peter, a great man from the New Testament, the Lord must have had an awful lot of confidence in those two fellows. Both of them made a lot of, they made some big public blunders. And everybody, from the day that those two men made their blunders until now, have kicked those guys. Every time you turn around, you're hearing about David's sin. Every time you turn around, you're hearing about Peter's sin. I've got this hunch that God had an awful lot of confidence in those two men to let all of history beat the stuffings out of them. And those men and their courage, they somehow had given God the impression that if they went down in history for falling, that they could take it. And I guess I'm just complimenting David and Peter. Don't get this idea that that these men were not good men. They were. They were great men. Matter of fact, so great, God was willing to print their faults, and we could use them as an example. And I think it's just a compliment to both David and Peter. Psalm 51, that's the passage of Scripture that you just read with Brother Bush. Oh, what a powerful, powerful psalm. Psalm 51 was written by David, a sinning saint who decides to come all the way back to God. To any of you that have been in church for some time, you have learned through the years that Psalm 51 is a place to run to if you've done wrong, because you see David coming back to God and the process that David went through as he's making his way back to God. The story is, David had sinned. Men were at battle. David, being a mighty warrior, he came home from battle one day. He went on to his rooftop. While there, he looked across the way. A gal by the name of Bathsheba was out sunbathing. And she, maybe just like what someone would do on the beach today. She was not properly clothed on top of her rooftop. David saw it. David lusted after her. Now Bathsheba was a married woman. She was married to a man by the name of Uriah. So here David is. He's on top of his house. He looks over. There's Bathsheba in her bathing suit or whatever. And David lusts after her, and he takes her unto himself. He commits adultery with her. She ends up pregnant out of wedlock. David panics, and as so many people do when we do wrong, David got in a little deeper as a result of his wrong, and David ends up plotting a way to see to it that Bathsheba's husband Uriah is put to death. Oh, Uriah, what a good man. He tries to stay loyal. Uriah is one of David's soldiers, and Uriah he stays loyal to David, but David plots a way to have Uriah killed. Then David takes Bathsheba unto himself, and oh, what a mess. Most of you that have been in church for any time at all, you've heard the story over and over again. And as I mentioned earlier, I really think that God had an awful lot of confidence in David, knowing that David would go down in history for that, but that David's in heaven right now with God, and I think David's very happy in heaven. And I think, what a compliment to David that God would allow David's sin to be printed. Some of you can be real glad it wasn't your sin that was printed. It would have destroyed you, but it didn't destroy David. David just kept on going for God. Now, in Psalm 51, you see David's relationship with God. And I really believe that in Psalm 51, as you read it, you see a mental process that David goes through as he's coming back to God after he gets himself into this mess. So you all know, if at any time in your life, and you will fall into sin, but if you're looking for a place to get some encouragement, and you mess up, run to Psalm 51 and read through it. You'll see the mental process that David went through to get himself back to God and where he needed to be. I was in my office one day, and I was helping someone. The delight of my life is helping people. It is just an honor beyond measure that I get to serve God's people. And we were talking, and someone had shared with me that they had fallen and they had messed up their lives. With tears in their eyes, they said to me, "Preacher, how do you handle it when you sin? How do you handle it when you sin?" And I got to thinking about it. After they left my office, I think I'd gone out and get a cup of coffee or something, and that question just kept on going. Oh, it kept on coming back to me. How do you handle it when you sin? I pulled out a napkin and I pulled out my ink pen and I jotted some things down real quick about how I handle it when I sin, and I shoved it in a sermon file. And that's been months and months ago. And for some reason, pulled it out this afternoon. And I just wrote down these simple thoughts. Now, let me tell you something. Someone said that you learn from your mistakes. I'm bound to be getting smarter and smarter. I have made so many mistakes. As a young Christian, I failed over and over and over again. I flopped at my Christian life. The more I learn, the more I seem to flop, and the more I realize what a sinner I am. I know what I'm about to say, it won't make sense to some of you, and I can't develop the thought, but you know what's happened to me? It seems like the closer to God I attempt to get, the further away I seem to be. You say, how is that? Well, I think it's because the closer you get to God, the more you realize how great and holy He is. And the closer you get to God, the more you realize what a flop you are. And so I really thought, boy, once you get up there real close, you're just going to feel like a great success. And the truth is, the closer I get to His holiness, the more I realize what a sinner and what a flop Jeff Owens is. But I've made my fair share of mistakes, my sins, my wrongs. I cannot come to you tonight and say that I'm a holy, perfect person. Nobody can, but let me say to you, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, just like you. But I do want to tell you tonight how I deal with my failures. When I sin, how do I handle it? What do I do? And it's going to be so simple, but if you'll listen, this is a process that I put myself through. If you were to study Psalm 51, so remarkably, I think you'll find that just about every single point that I give you tonight is tucked into Psalm 51, where David is coming back to God. And there are a lot of preachers in here, you preachers, I did this totally backwards. I sat down and wrote down about 12 or 13 ideas of what I do to come back to God. Then I found a scripture to go along with it. But the remarkable thing was that the scripture identifies virtually every point within its text. And I think if you'll listen, I can help you. And so, you know, you say, well, I'm not going to fall away. Well, you already have. You already have. And you watch your pride. All of us need to know how to come back and what to do about our sin when we fall away from our God. Let me help you if I could. This is what I do. This is what Jeff Owens does to help Jeff Owens when Jeff Owens sins or when Jeff Owens flops or fails or stumbles. Number one, I seek God's forgiveness and I seek it quickly. I seek His forgiveness and I do it quickly. I've decided through the years not to waste my time getting right with God. When I fall, I don't want any delay. Let me tell you what happens to me. When I delay going to Him for forgiveness, somehow I get to justifying my wrong. And I don't want to justify my wrong. That delay sometimes is me trying to logic through it, trying to figure out if there's a way not to have to confess it or not to have to admit that I was wrong. So I just learned, if I do something dumb, if I sin, if I do something against God, I quickly go to Him and I quickly confess it. Let me tell you this about forgiveness in me. I have learned to claim His forgiveness by faith. Tell you what I mean by that. I quickly go to God and I say, God, forgive me, and then I believe He forgives me. I don't hash it and rehash it. If I say, God, forgive me, I believe that He's going to do what He said, and He said He was faithful and just to forgive my sin. I don't let that thing linger on my conscience forever. If I go to God and say, God, forgive me, and I do it from my heart, I believe He forgives me and it's over. Now, some of you don't believe that God tells the truth when He promises to forgive you. I believe God's telling the truth. Claim His word by faith. He said, ask forgiveness, you'll receive forgiveness. So, what do you do when you sin, Brother Owens? Number one, I seek God's forgiveness and I do it quickly. Number two, I seek forgiveness of anyone that I've hurt. You see, if I've sinned and I've sinned against you or I've sinned against someone, then I quickly go to them and say, I'm sorry. You know, folks, we've got to learn to apologize. It's really rough. Our pride, our ego, to say I'm sorry, to apologize, that doesn't come naturally. That's a spiritual thing. Being willing to say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. And listen, if you hurt somebody and you need to repay them because you hurt them, then do it. So what do? I seek God's forgiveness and I do it quickly. Then I seek people's forgiveness. You know why? I don't want their heart toward me to fester and I don't want my heart toward them to fester. If I've hurt them, I get to them as quick as I can and say, I'm sorry. I did you wrong, or I did this, or I said that, or I behaved this way. I want to get it right. I want to get it right away. Mrs. Owens and I have a unique relationship. We love each other. You have to understand something. She's got her work cut out for her. You're living with me. Can you imagine? One lady said one time, I don't see how you could be married to him. And my wife told me that, and I thought, I don't see how anybody can be married to her. But listen, let me tell you something. I'm bullheaded. I'm stubborn. When I think I'm right, I am. That's just all there is to it. But I'll tell you something we do. Whenever we have a tiff, we fix it pretty quickly. There are times when there's a little bit of tension because she's a woman and I'm brilliant. I mean, she's a woman and I'm a man. But there are times when there's tension there. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. That does not exist because you have two sinners involved in the relationship. But one thing we do is we get right with each other very quickly. We don't let it fester. We don't let it linger. And the sooner we can get things fixed, the better off we are. And if everybody in this church would do that, if you sin, get to God right away. Get to God. Take care of that thing. And if you hurt somebody, get to them right away. Right away. Get to them and say, I don't want this to come between us. And I'm sorry that I hurt you. Number three, I seek to learn from my sin. I seek to learn from my sin. You say, why? So I don't make the same mistake again. So I won't hurt people the same way again. I want to learn. How in the world does Satan deceive me into that? Where did I go wrong? What had I learned in the past that I didn't listen to that caused me to stumble? Because most of us have been warned about how not to get into the mess. We probably just need to examine what warning did we not heed. But I seek to learn from it. You know, I don't want to waste my mistakes. I don't want to waste my spankings. Listen, one of the best things in the world is if you do wrong and God spanks you for it, learn from the spanking. Don't make Him spank you again. And so you know, God will spank you if you do wrong. He'll spank you. And if you're doing wrong and not being spanked, then you better make sure you save. Because God said, I spank my own. I chastise them. And so, when I do wrong, I seek God's forgiveness as fast as I can. I secondly seek the forgiveness of the person I might have hurt as fast as I can. Then I say, I want to learn from this because I don't want to make the same mistake again. Number four, I forgive myself. I take a moment and say, look now, you've made a mistake. You asked God to forgive you. You asked that person to forgive you. You've tried to learn from it. Now, I've got to make sure that I don't give up on me. So I say, now Jeff, you did wrong and you shouldn't have done wrong, but you go on and you serve God. I don't want to keep me down. Now, listen, there are people in this room, you are still struggling with a mistake or a sin that you made 20 years ago. Now you need to forgive you and go on. You've got to forgive you and go on. You've got to do that. You say, well, I don't feel like I deserve it. None of us deserve it, but go on. Just go on. Just go on. And I'm not trying to justify my wrong. I'm not trying to say to myself, you're an all right guy. I'm just saying, if God can forgive me, I guess I can forgive me. And I've got to go on. And it's not because I'm trying to pamper me. It's because I must go on and serve God with my life because that is what He commands. And me getting this thing off my own back is going to help me to go on and do something for God. So, I seek God's forgiveness quickly. I seek the forgiveness of others quickly. I seek to learn from it so I don't make the same mistake again. I forgive myself, number five. I learn to love others who have committed that very sin. You know something, I'm supposed to have compassion on the fallen all the time. But it is amazing how quickly you can have compassion on some other sinner when you're guilty of the same sin they were guilty of. Oh my. It ought to be. I'll tell you what happens inside me. The minute I fall and I do something stupid or I sin or I do something I shouldn't have done, I suddenly realize, boy, I need to be careful being so hard on other people who have committed this sin. You know, we can be awful rough on people in the areas where we think we're doing real good. You know, in an area where you think you're doing real good, you can be real hard on everybody else. Well, I've got news for you. You may not do real good in that area forever. You may fall. You may falter. But guess what? There are other areas where you're doing real bad and somebody else is doing real good. But when I have sinned and when I have done wrong, somehow God in my heart quickly tenderizes me and says, boy, you need to be careful how you treat people who are guilty of that right there. You just did it. And I hope all of us will realize we're to have compassion on people. I wonder sometimes if our sin, one of the things we're to learn from it is to have compassion on people who have committed that very same sin. I had somebody say to me, I forget who, it's been about 2 months ago, when I was talking to a leader, maybe it's another pastor, and this is what he said. He pointed to the man in his congregation. He said, that man has gotten himself into a lot of trouble. He said, but you want to know something? That man's really not done anything that many other men in my congregation have not done. It was just his turn to get caught. I want some of you to know something. There are a bunch of sins you've committed and you've not been caught for. And your unkind treatment to people that got caught, it's just their turn to get caught. Your turn will come around. And if it were not for the mercy and the grace of an almighty God, we'd all be in a mess all the time. So you need to be real careful. You need to be real careful. You know, there are some people that are in jail for something that you're not in jail for, but you deserve to go to jail for it. You just didn't get caught. So that person over there cheated on their taxes. Well, if I were you, I'd be real careful. You just haven't been caught yet. You like that? Well, what I'm saying is, when I sin, something comes out of it. When I sin, suddenly I look at what I've done and I say, you know, I'm going to be against this sin, but I'm not going to be against people. I mean, I did it. You say, well, I would never do that right there. Listen to me, I'm going to warn you right now. When you start being arrogant about somebody else's sin as if you are this untouchable person in that area, you are setting yourself up for that very sin. Your pride will come before your destruction. There is no sin that you're above. So when I sin, somehow God uses it to tenderize my heart. I'm going to hate the sin, but I have learned to love the sinner and hope the best for them, and wish that they would get right with God. So what do I do when I sin? I'll tell you what I do. I seek God's forgiveness quickly. What do? I seek the forgiveness of anyone that I've hurt quickly. I then seek to learn from it so I don't make the same mistake again. Then I forgive myself. Then I learn to love others who have committed that sin. Then I decide not to quit. When I disappoint myself and when I disappoint the Lord, I have a mental conversation with myself and I say, Jeff, you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. You say, why do you do that? Because our temptation is, if we mess up our clean slate, we want to quit. We want to quit. We want to throw in the towel. I say to myself, you're not going to quit. You know, a whole bunch of you just need to decide, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon tonight, every time you sin against your God, immediately say, but you're not going to quit. 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 There are people in here who have had that conversation with yourself and you've said, okay, I was stupid, I did wrong, but you immediately said, I'm not quitting on God. There are others who are not here tonight who have not had that conversation with themselves, and the reason they're not in church tonight is because when they sinned, they became so disappointed in themselves and they let the devil get into that thing and they quit. I decide not to quit. I talk to myself. Brother Young, I talk to myself. If I sin, I have a conversation with myself. I say, you need to get to God and ask His forgiveness. And you hurt that person and you need to get to them. And you better learn something from this. And you've got to keep on going. And you've got to learn to be a little more compassionate and a little more tender toward other people that have committed that sin. And whatever you do, Jeff Owens, don't you quit. You knew these times would come. You knew the times would come when the pressure of life would be on you. Don't quit. And I tell myself not to quit. Number 7, I teach others from what I've learned from my own fall. I teach others. Now, you know, you can teach people how to succeed by using your failure. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stand up and say to someone, I committed this sin, and here are the 8 things that I learned from it. You don't have to do that. But you could stand up and say, let me tell you how you can get into this sin right here, and let me tell you what a mess it'll make of your life. You don't have to say, you say, Brother Owens, in days gone by, years ago, I married wrong. I married somebody that wasn't saved, and our marriage ended in shipwreck and divorce and heartache and it hurt. Okay, you don't have to stand up before your Sunday school class and say, I'm a divorced man, and let me tell you what I learned from that. You don't have to do that. But you can stand up and say, Let me teach you something about marrying right. Let me teach you about marrying someone that believes the Bible the way you believe the Bible and goes to the right kind of a church and believes the right Bible and lives separation in their life. You can teach all that. You don't have to stand up and tell them everything that's wrong with you. God would not require that. But God would want you to teach them what you learned from your sin. Hey, let's not let the devil get all the benefit from our sin. Do you know that God could get some benefit from our sin? And I'm not saying God wants us to sin. He does not. But after we've done it, why don't we squeeze something good out of that thing if we can? You say, what good could come from the mess I've got in my life? Hey, if you messed up, learn from it, turn around and help somebody else to learn from your sin. That way they don't mess up their life. So I try to teach others from my fall. Number 8, I don't think about my failures too much. I don't think about my failures too much. It could depress me. I don't want to be depressed. I'm not trying to slip out from underneath the responsibility of my sin. I'm not. I'm not trying to slip out from underneath the responsibility or the punishment. But I'm not going to dwell on it so much that it gets me down. You see, if I can't think about my sin in a constructive way, then I don't want to think about it at all. I've already sinned. I've already sought forgiveness from God. I've already sought forgiveness from the person. I've already squeezed that thing for some learning experience. I've already said I've got to go on. I've already decided to love other people that commit the same sin. I've already decided I'm not going to quit. I've already decided I'm going to teach others. Now, you know something? I've given quite a bit of thought to that sin. I am not going to dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it until it gets me down. I don't want to think about my failure so much that it keeps me in a state of failure. So I said, if I can't think about my sin in a constructive way, then I don't want to think about my sin at all. I really don't believe that God wants you to be depressed with your sin. I think God wants you to learn from it and go on. He wants you to learn from it and just go on. Number 9, I see it as an opportunity to grow. I want to see, now listen, I don't want to sin. I don't want you to sin. But once I have, again, I want to grow because of it. Let me tell you, you say, Brother Owens, how do I know if I'm growing from my sin? All right? When you sin and you do wrong, and you learn from it, and the next time you do better, you're growing. But if you keep going back to the same thing over and over and over and over again, you're not growing like you're supposed to grow. Let's grow even from the experience of our sin. I want to grow because of it. All of these things that I've discussed with you, loving other people that have fallen into sin, that's growth. That's growing your heart and growing your compassion, learning to apologize. Hey, just learning, what got me into this mess? Some of you, once you trace your steps, you can learn, you would never have to go down that same path again. You grow from it. Number 10, I get help if I need it. I get help if I need it. You say, what do you mean? Well, you go get counsel. You find someone that is a spiritual leader, and you go to them and say, I need help. I need encouragement. If you sin, and you feel like, brother, this is going to get me down. I'm not dealing with this well. Then you see someone that can help you. You say, brother, who do you see? Well, I go to Benny Hinn. No. I'll tell you what I do. I'll call my daddy. My dad is a pastor, and there are times if I find myself down or discouraged about something stupid that I've done, I'll call my dad and I'll say, Dad, I did something stupid. And he gives me the same counsel that I'd give anybody else. He'd say, now have you asked the Lord to forgive you? I say, yes, sir, I sure have. Have you learned from it? Yes, sir, I have. He said, then you got to go on. You got to go on. But there's some times when humanly speaking, I have a hard time climbing out of that thing. Now, you have to understand, I know on my desk right now, there are 8 telephone calls from pastors across America wanting to talk to me. And you know what a lot of them want to talk about? Oh, they did something dumb. Something rough happened to them. They want to know what to do. And I coach them out of that thing. See, you got to keep on going. Now, I do this all day long, every day, 7 days a week. I do it with thousands of people, but it's funny. I'm human too. And as a pastor, somebody said to me once, not long ago, they said, well, when you have heartaches and they don't seem to bother you, I'm sorry. They really do bother me. I've just got to learn how to take it. But as a pastor, I don't have somebody to run to every day of the week. I try to dig myself out of that hole, but every once in a while, I'll just call my daddy. Say, Dad, I need help. And he'll help me. Number 11, I don't get bitter and angry with God for my sin. I don't get bitter or angry with God for my sin. Hey, if I sin and God's got to swap me on the backside, I don't get mad at Him. I have just decided I'm the sinner, He's the God, and I'm the one that did wrong, not God. God's good. All the time. All the time. I don't go to God and say, well, why didn't you spare me of this? I do not. I don't think God's ever been unfair to me. I don't think God's ever brought unfair temptation on me. I decided a long time ago that He would not bring a temptation on me that I could not bear. The Bible says that. I don't get angry with God. I don't get bitter with God. Hey, that's how I deal with my sin. How do you deal with your sin, Brother Owens? I'll tell you what I do. I seek God's forgiveness as quick as I can. I seek forgiveness of anyone that I've hurt as fast as I can. I seek to learn from it so I don't make the same mistake. I forgive myself. I learn to love others who have made that mistake, realizing now that anybody could do that. I make a conscious decision not to quit. Then I teach others from what I have learned from my own sin. I don't think about my failure unless it is constructive thinking. Then I seek and see it as an opportunity to grow. I get help if I need it. I don't get bitter or angry with God. Number 11, I don't look for someone else to blame. Now, this is tough for us because we're always wanting to blame someone for our sin. And in this day and age, you're virtually taught it's your mom's fault, it's your dad's fault, it's your husband's fault, it's your wife's fault, it's your school's fault. It's got to be somebody's fault, but it's not the individual's fault. Let me tell you something. You will give answer to God for your sin. Your individual sin. You will give answer to God for your sin. That's what the Bible teaches. So, I don't go looking for somebody to blame for my sin. I look at my sin and take responsibility for my sin. That's what adults do. That's what adult Christians do. Well, I wouldn't be this way if it weren't for my last husband. You sin because of you. I wouldn't be this way if it were not for my last wife. You sin because of you. You stop blaming everybody else for your sin. Y'all okay? When you sin, that's your fault. And we're not to try to look for somebody to blame. Here's something. You'll get over your sin much quicker if you stop trying to spread. You know, my daughter, Charlotta, she's got this thing. When she was growing up, if she didn't like something on her plate, and we required our kids to clean up the food on their plate. Now, she had this thing about it. She didn't like something on her plate. She'd smash it. And then she'd smear little elements all over the place that almost looked like there wasn't anything there. She could take 6 or 8 green beans and smash them so little. So I mean, smash them down to almost nothing so it almost looked like there was a film of green beans instead of green beans. She'd just spread that thing out. That's the way some of you are about your sin. You try to spread the responsibility out so thin that it almost is not there. Well, let me tell you something. You need to face your sin, and there's as much of it there, whether you've smashed it and spread it out, or if it's whole, you need to face your sin. And so, one way that I deal with my own sin is I don't go around looking for somebody else to blame. I look at it right square in the eye and say, Jeff Owens, you did that. Suck it up. Take responsibility for what you did. So, the next thing I do is this. I'm reminded that I can't lose my salvation. I'm always real happy about that. I'm so glad I cannot lose my salvation, and I thank God for that. And be reminded of it. You can't lose your salvation. Now, you shouldn't say, well, I think I'll just live it up and live any way I want since I can't lose my salvation. God forbid that you live that way. You give the grace of God a bad name when you behave like that. But I'm always reminded, I'm saved, God saved me, and I'm on my way to heaven. Now, I may lose the blessing of God. It may be that because of my sin, I will have to be disciplined. It may be that He'll retract some of His blessing, but He'll never retract His salvation. And anybody that teaches He takes salvation away, that is a heresy that is one of the worst heresies in the whole Bible. You should have no fellowship with somebody who believes that sort of stuff. That is a slap in the face of the grace of God. So, how do I deal with my sin? Next thing is I go do something for God. I go do something for God. Let me tell you what happens. The devil, once you've sinned, he wants to intimidate you into believing you can't be used of God anymore. He wants to convince you, forget it. You can't do anything that's going to make a lasting impression for God. You can't do anything for God. So I make myself go do something. I say, I'm going to go do something for God. And you know what? A lot of times I don't feel like it. I almost feel like, is it worth it to go ahead and serve Him now that I goofed up? I mean, I did wrong, and the devil tries to make me feel bad in my spirit, make me feel worthless, make me feel like it wouldn't do any good to go serve God. And I say to myself, you're going to go do something because you need to kickstart this thing again. God's still going to use you, so go do something. Even if you don't feel like it, go do something. Someone said, well, don't give your money unless you give it cheerfully, because God loveth the cheerful giver. God loveth the cheerful giver, and God wants the money of the old grouch as well. You say, well, I can't tithe cheerfully, so I won't tithe. Then you're a thief and a robber, and God's not going to bless you. So you give whether you're happy about it or not. And you ought to serve God whether you feel like it or not. So how do I deal with my failures? What do I do when I sin? What do I do when I mess up? Well, I put myself through a little process. I quickly seek God's forgiveness. I quickly seek the forgiveness of those around me. I decide to learn from it so I don't make the same mistake again. I decide I'm going to go on and forgive myself. I suddenly find myself with more compassion on those who have committed the sin that I was just guilty of. I decide not to quit on God. I teach others from my failure. Then I don't think about my failure unless it is constructive thinking so that I can go on in the will of God. I see it as an opportunity to grow because I don't want the devil to get all the benefit out of my sin. I get help if I need it. I don't get bitter with God. I don't get angry with God. And I don't blame God that I fell. Then I don't look for another human being to blame for my fall. I'm always reminded that I can't lose my salvation. And then I go on and serve God and do something for Him. That process has worked me out of every hole I've ever been in. You say, what do you mean by a hole? My sin. That process right there. I sat down, I thought about it, I thought, what do you do to keep yourself going? Look, I'm just like you, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Some people think somehow that the preacher is given these exceptional graces or mercies or, there's a pass that you get if you're a preacher, so you're not tempted. Let me tell you something. The devil works overtime on a preacher. He is constantly working on men of God and those that serve God full time. I'm just telling you how to date. Is that spiritual? Knock on wood. To date, I have survived being a sinner. And that's what I am. I think the thing I look forward to most when I get to heaven is I won't sin against God anymore. I just can't wait. I don't want to sin against Him. But I do. And I'm sorry for it. I'm sorry to you and I'm sorry to Him. I'm a sinner. But I've learned how to survive being a sinner. And the process that I've given you is the process that I go through. Let me read this to you, and I'm finished. Psalm 51. The psalm is David. David has sinned, and he's decided, I'm not staying in this state. I'm going on for God. Let me read it to you now that I've taught you what I have. It says this. This is David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, of God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. David said, I messed up and I made my life a mess, but I'm not going to let it keep me down. I'm going to dig myself out of this thing. And I think David probably went through just about the exact process that I go through when I do wrong. I hope somehow this evening you were able to find one little truth in what I taught that'll help you. And like I said at the beginning of the sermon, all of us need to know how to deal with our sins. Because you're in the midst of a congregation of sinners. Saved sinners, but sinners. And we all need to figure out what to do when we have sinned. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to be born again.